There is this thing. Do you realize
what is?
There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing. On. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news? Brought to you live. Welcome
to Off the Hour here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are 11 days into the month of November, and you are tuned into the Avalanche, a special presentation of CKUT's Community News Department. Tonight we'll be talking about a play called The Miracle Worker. This Broadway musical tells the story of Helen Keller, a famous writer, reformer, and academic
who was born visually impaired and hard of hearing. However, the producers of the play did not select a disabled actor for the role of Helen. A theater critic for the New York Times called about this on CBC Radio lately, where he was dissing the disabilities. We discussed this with Diane Dupuis, founder of the Famous People Players. We will also listen to a disability show called HandyLink, which broadcasts on CJAM Radio in Windsor, Ontario. HandyLink's host Cam Wells will speak with Tracy Walters, National Director of Independent Living Canada. Independent Living Canada is a group devoted to supporting people with disabilities move towards independent living. But first up on today's show, Best Buddies, an organization that helps to find companions for people with disabilities. Stefan spoke to David, who is a buddy advocate along with Matt, who is the campus coordinator of the Concordia chapter of Best Buddies. Stefan also spoke with Robert, who is the Best Buddies advocate for Bishop's University in Lennoxville. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Avalanche on CKUT 90.3 FM. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Stefan here for The Avalanche at CKUT. I'm here with Dave. With two people from Best Buddies.
Yes, my name is David Allen, and I'm the buddy advocate. Next door to me is Matt, the campus coordinator. But right now, we're trying to recruit students to be student buddies at Concordia University. It's Matt and I and Madalena got to work together to get students to come and sign up forms so they could be a part of Best Buddies. Pass it over to Matt.
So yes, Best Buddies is a great volunteer opportunity. It's very low-key. It's a lot of fun. It's basically just you hanging out one-on-one with a matched buddy, doing activities that you both share interests in. And yeah, it's lots of fun. So come on out and participate at Concordia Best Buddies.
We need we need people to come and be a part of our group. We don't want it to start up good and the next minute falls apart. So please make it a good challenge. Peace out.
Okay, can you tell me what activities that you did with your buddy?
Well, with my buddy and Matt, the three of us went to the St. Patrick's Day Parade this year, and we went to the bookstore Indigo. It was the Best Buddies event.
Is there any other events?
Right now, not yet, because we're still waiting to see what we can do. And, well, I'm going to organize with Matt and Madalena a nice bowling event when we have the time.
Is there a lot of buddies waiting for to be part of Best Buddies?
Right now, there is three that I know of, but I'm waiting to see if I can find a student buddies for them.
We do have a long list of buddies that are waiting to be matched, and we are right now a small volunteer group, so we are looking to increase that this year.
Okay, that's pretty good. Like that. Is there anything else you want to say?
Well, I'm hoping a chapter could be a good-sized group and not give us a hard time to find student buddies. If Matt and me and Madalena put our heads together, we can get this group off the ground starting fresh.
Okay, so like that. How people could come and like Best Buddies with your chapter?
How people can join is like me, Matt, and Madalena have a meet and greet group, and we give out pamphlets, and you can register online or see us in person. That's how they can know more information about what we do on a daily basis.
Okay, that's good. Thank you very much. You want to say something else?
You're welcome, and have a good day.
Bye. Okay, can you introduce yourself?
My name is Robert Stratton. I'm with Best Buddies Bishops. I've been with Best Buddies for 11 years.
Okay, what type of activities you did with your best buddies?
Well, we went bowling. We went sugar on snow. We had fashion shows, and we've had pancake breakfasts. And I've enjoyed it very much.
So like that. What is your most memorable time with your buddy?
My memorable moment is when I went to a sporting soccer game because one of my best buddies played soccer. So I went and watched her play, and we beat McGill big time.
Yeah. So okay, that's pretty good. So like that. What you like to see with Best Buddies in the future?
I'd like to have more Best Buddies, and I'd like to see when they make a commitment to keep it, and because I know it's very heartbreaking when they don't keep their commitment.
Yeah, I know that. I used to have a Best Buddy, and I didn't. I've seen her about maybe once, twice, and never seen her ever again. That happened with you?
One time, that's why I got Best Buddy Advocate, because one time my best buddy only met me one time, and that was the meet and greet, and the rest of the year I didn't even hear from him. So I pray that everybody, when they come Best Buddies, they keep their commitment, and I enjoy Best Buddies very much.
Okay, that's good. Thank you very much, Robert.
Artists Against Apartheid, the 11th edition, Remembering Political Prisoners in Palestine. Performances from the Antoine Boustros Trio with visuals by filmmaker Mary Ellen Davis. Seven Arrows, featuring Joe Grass, pedal steel, Rebecca Foon, cello, Andrew Barr, drums, Sarah Page, harp, Yuki Isami, flute, and a duo performance on oud by Sam Shalabi and Omar Dowashi. That's Wednesday, November 11th, 8 o'clock, La Sala Rosa, 4848 Saint Laurent. 8 in advance, 10 at the door. Tickets at Casa del Popolo. Info 514-664-1036. Co-sponsored by Tadamon and the Swoni Per il Popolo Festival. This is a CKUT Radio co-presentation.
And now we'll hear a piece about Best Buddies.
No.
Sorry. Excuse me. Tonight we will be talking about a play called The Miracle Worker. This Broadway musical tells the story of Helen Keller, the famous writer, reformer, and academic who was born visually impaired and hard of hearing. However, the producers of the play did not select a disabled actor for the role of Helen. CBC Radio John Gomeshi spoke to a theater critic from the New York Times on his radio show in The Queue recently. The critic New York Times of the New York Times dissing the disabilities. Let's listen to the clip.
Printed an article about this in the New York Times. Your article. I see there's been an avalanche of response. It's really touched a nerve.
It struck a chord.
What are the different sides? Can you sum up what the different sides are saying?
Sure. Some folks are saying it's political correctness run amok. Some people are saying that they should have been given a chance, you know, to audition, that people should get a chance on Broadway, that film and television is such a star system, that the theater is kind of our, you know, remaining entertainment medium where, you know, everybody can get a crack, and young kids have dreamed of performing on Broadway for generations, and is that disappearing just because of the old star system? One interesting comment that came up from a well-known playwright in New York was basically, he was sort of suggesting that
this is Christopher Shin, right?
Toward casting a deaf actor as Helen Keller actually came about from people's discomfort with seeing a deaf actor on stage or a blind actress on stage playing this character. That basically we like to see, you know, Al Pacino and Dustin Hoffman play disabled characters in the movies because we kind of know that they're not disabled in real life. So there's no discomfort in some moment that might seem, you know, I don't know, either weak or restrained or something. And one person said, you know what? What if you cast a blind actress in Helen Keller and she fell off the stage, like accidentally? And in this case, frankly, this theater where the production is going to be is in the round theater. So it's a circular stage with the audience all around, a very small stage. And people are saying, well, what if she, you know, sort of forgets where she is and, like, bumps an audience member's leg? Isn't there going to be sort of discomfort that, you know,
really, though,
grow under too much pressure and so on?
Really? Forgets where she is? I mean,
I think it is an extreme argument, but I think it more goes to how comfortable are we seeing people who were disabled, right, you know, on stage in high-profile roles. I mean, it wasn't so long ago that a lot of disabled people were institutionalized or they were kept home or, you know, their parents didn't let them go out and play because they were worried they didn't understand the boundaries of the lawn and the street. I mean, it might seem extreme, but, you know, the fact of the matter is we're not seeing a lot of these actors and actresses in high-profile roles. I mean, Marlee Matlin won the Academy Award for Children of a Lesser God as a deaf character, but all we have is Marlee Matlin,
right,
in terms of stars.
Right. But this really isn't about affirmative action, because David Rieschenthal himself isn't saying it's about the best actor. He's saying it's about getting a star.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Off the Hour here on CKUT 90.3. It's 5:15.
Yeah, and you just heard a little excerpt from
John Gomeshi.
Yeah, so like that.
Heard on CBC Radio.
Yeah, hey, Kevin, like we wrote to Gomeshi's producers from The Queue, and you're going to read like a couple little bits?
Yeah, we received a letter from
the producer.
From the producer of the show, and I'm going to pick out a few, an excerpt.
Okay, so like that, yeah, we're, so like that. I'm just going to say that, and I want Kevin to say, I just want to say something like, I think another thing I want to say is another thing that, like that, like I cut out a little piece. They were talking about adding an actress for play Helen Keller, which is an Oscar actress. So like that, and like that was talking about before they were talking about things like if they hired a disability to do the show, people won't come because you need the big stars to do the show. And I want to say something. I'm 100% agrees. And in the USA, times are getting tough. They had a deficit just happen. And like that, and I just want to say out there to people listening to Off the Hour, I agree the stars should be in the show, the pulling the people in to get tickets. So did you find anything, Kev?
Okay.
So like that. Okay, I'm just going to say, like, things like that. So, like that, just like that. And another thing, too, is the Avalanche is not against Gimeshi because the Q, he sounds a really good radio reporter and things like that. And we're not really against him. We're more against the guy from the New York Times, which they're kindly did not had anything help him out about disability. Did you find something?
I'm just rereading this.
Yeah,
and,
so like that. Yeah. So yeah, I'm just, like maybe I'm read the first part.
Okay. It starts off saying, thank you for the letter on behalf of CKUT's Avalanche programmers, expressing their interest in having CBC radio host John Gomeshi on to discuss Q's interview with Patrick Healy, theater reporter for the New York Times. Since Gian is not intimately involved in the issues on either side of the discussion in question, we hoped the following will clarify our intended approach with this story. As an arts and culture and entertainment show intended for a general audience, Q covers current issues through that particular lens. This live, unedited interview was meant to be a report on the controversy surrounding the Helen Keller casting, not an opinion piece. Mr. Healy was asked to appear in his capacity as a reporter and an observer of the Broadway scene.
Okay, just a minute to that. That is wrong. It is wrong, right, Kevin?
Absolutely.
You're wrong. Number one, like what she was saying, I think it's the producer was running, it's saying it was a report. Why not they just did the report and said what they said in the beginning, like what I was saying, and we didn't air about it's hard to get ticket prices and get people to come. Except one thing I didn't understand about, he didn't acknowledge there is disability actors and performers.
And they used able body actors instead of disabled actors. Yes,
yeah.
I agree, Steph.
I wish the Q went and acknowledged there is disability. So they didn't talk about that. They talked about all the things, the mean things, like the part there he says,
disabilities are institutionalized?
Not all.
No. They were institutionalized. You know, that's really, really degrading disabilities. You know what?
That's like putting all the disabled people, all like people with learning disabilities, physical disabilities, all that all together. Yeah, I agree with you, Steph.
I think that wasn't right for him to say that and like that. And like, if it was like the letter said in the letter there where Kevin read there, it was a report. Why not they just made a report and didn't add those freaking comments on it?
From what I read, it wasn't just a letter. It was a personal opinion and a slight on disabled people.
Yeah, like I'm an intellectual handicap. Like that. Okay, maybe they should get me off radio. I have problems reading. Except I overcome my reading and disability. So like that.
And when I first started here, I have a short-term memory problem, and sometimes I'd start to read something, and I wouldn't remember sometimes where I was in the script, but now I follow my script to the letter. I start to read, and then I'm like, okay, I've read the first page, and now that's finished. I flip to the next one.
And
so
like that, and like things like we have a guy used to engineer. He's coming back. He engineered. He couldn't, and he's visually impaired. He cannot see the board. He cannot see those buttons. That would help. We do it. It's like one thing about this this thing there. The thing is, you know, like if you don't know how to dig a hole, okay. Somebody shows you how to dig a hole, we can learn how to get around those barriers.
Yeah.
Like that. And unlike the queue, I think they were wrong to say it was just a report because they added a little bit too much.
Yeah.
That's what you agree?
Exactly. Because they bit off a little more than they could chew.
Yeah. And that wasn't a report. That was, he added a couple comments about the disability and like that. And I'm going to repeat, I'm not against them getting like that. Maybe if it comes to Montreal or if I go to New York, I'm not going to be the ones boycotting this show because it's okay. I understand. Money is not easy to make in the States. A lot of people lost their jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, is there any other comment you want to say, Kev?
No, I think.
Okay, so like that. So you're gonna intro the next piece.
Yeah.
Right under the letter. You want me to read it?
Yeah, shoot.
Okay. We also spoke the miracle worker play with Diane Dupree from Famous Players. So we're going to play that right on now. So like that. So. Wait. Right now. So like that. I just got to. Okay, we're playing that right now. We did an interview with Diane Dupree, which had disability people on there.
Pleased to meet you.
Yeah, it's pleased to meet you.
Nice to meet you again.
Yeah, I know. We did a wonderful interview, didn't we?
Yeah,
couple of years ago or something.
Yeah, and I came down to see your show. Was it Alice the Alice Wonderland?
Oh, Funkyland, right.
Yeah, Funkyland. Yeah, I was there with my parents. We met there. Stefan. Yeah. So like that, yeah. So like okay. that. So we're going to start.
Okay.
Okay.
Can Can you introduce yourself to our listeners,
please? Yes. I'm Diane Dupuy. I'm the founder and president of Famous People Players, a black light theater company that works with people who are developmentally challenged. And black light is where all the performers are dressed from head to toe in black velvet jumpsuits, and they manipulate these life-size puppets and characters that are painted in bright fluorescent colors, and it's pure magic on stage. What you see is sensational. What you don't see is inspirational.
It was a very beautiful show. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, so I'm going to remind you why we're talking about this. Last Monday on the queue with John
Gameshi
there. He had this big reporter from the New York Times Theater was turning around and talking about this theater. Do you remember, Kev? The Miracle Worker, the Helen Keller
story.
And the reporter was going on and talking about this blind person was gonna, if she goes on the stage, she could fall off the stage.
Yeah.
And another thing also too is she would get lost. I know at your show you have a lot of disability people on your show, and I think you were somebody turned around and told you your show would have been like a freak show.
Freak show? Yeah,
so like that.
How do you respond to things like that, Diane?
Well, you know, I guess I take a different approach to it. I think, number one, that there are people who have a visual disability that are probably out there that can move around on a stage and do wonderful things and move things and be very moving to the production. So I would disagree with that, and I know that things can be worked out. So I would have to say that is kind of disappointing that someone would say something like that. But on the other hand, I have to wear a different hat now. Now, Famous People Players have been in business 35 years, and in those 35 years, I remember when we were asked to, they wanted to make a movie of our life, for example. And they used some of our performers who had disabilities to play themselves in the movie, which brought the heartwarming thing. But they certainly didn't want me because I didn't have a name. And I wasn't, no one would know who I am. And they needed a star. They needed a star because the movie had to be watched, and it's about ratings. And, you know, at the time I was disappointed with that decision, but in the end I realized it was the right decision. Because had I played myself, I probably would have been criticized by the critics for playing myself. And number two, not very many people would have watched it compared to the big Hollywood star that they had at that time, who was Brooke Adams. Now, Brooke Adams at that time was a very big star on television. And so, therefore, the ratings got high. Everybody got to know the work of Famous People Players. And it was spectacular, and it won an Emmy. So for that, I knew the producers were right, and they made the right decision. The other problem is that you got to bear in mind, I've been to Broadway with the Famous People Players. We've had two very successful Broadway shows. It's all about fast pace, no time, get it done now. And I know that it's very costly, extremely financially costly, to have these rehearsals on stage on Broadway. So you have to go into a rehearsal hall and you got to work it out. And then when you get into the house, you've only got so much time to actually pull this show off together.
So it's basically get it done, and then get
that's
out.
That's right. And, you know, it comes down to box office.
Except, like,
running on Broadway is a very expensive expensive thing. I know people says, when are you going back to Broadway? We can't afford to go back to Broadway. It's too expensive to do. And one thing you want to be guaranteed, that people are going to come to the box office and buy a ticket. So what are they going to want? They're going to want a star.
See,
and that's a star who's going to sell the tickets. It may not be the right person for the job, may not be the person who could do the role better than somebody else, but boy, if she's a star and she's available and she can sell those tickets and she can get people in the door, that's the bottom line.
Like my opinion is, okay, Stefan here, I agree with all this stuff. Like, I'm all for getting a star. Like, I understand in the United States, times are getting rough, and they need to pull in the money and all that. I agree with that, except I just didn't agree with the critic because he was turning around and talking about, like, disabilities couldn't do it. Degrading
disability disabled. Yeah.
I did research. I was supposed to do a visually impaired documentary, which I'm working on to doing it later. I found this theater group had visually impaired performers, and they did the show on the dock, it looked very good. Except,
and I agree with you on that. Agree with you, but, you know, there's no time.
Yeah,
and that's
true.
Basically what the bottom line is. And critics have always been wrong before.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't take it personally. You really can't. Because, you know what? I've been told that. Yeah. I've had these problems, too. And I have to tell you, I have a vision and I have a dream where I want to go. I bought all this land in Ancaster, Ontario. 84 acres of beautiful, beautiful farmland. It has a house on it, and I want to do a whole agricultural project. I want to have an environmentally green theater. I can't tell you, the neighbors don't want us there. It's very heartbreaking. People are very narrow-minded, and they have a very narrow vision. And I still, even with the success that I've had with famous people, players, going to Broadway, doing everything, you still get, I don't think that they can do this next thing. I don't think they can do it. I remember our beautiful Dine and Dream Theater, which Paul Newman generously underwrote and gave to us as a gift. It was highly, highly successful in Toronto, as you know, and we just opened up our new one, and it's very exciting. But, you know, I remember when I had that dream, that I had people and critics say, now who would want people with disabilities coming and waiting on you at a table? I don't like that idea. But you see, they didn't know Diane Dupuy, and they didn't know the famous people players. I don't let anybody know anybody has disabilities when they wait on anybody. Yeah. I make sure that my players are trained with class.
Yeah.
And if they can't be trained with class and they can't do it, then they don't do it.
Yeah.
And I don't put them out on the floor until they can do it.
Yeah.
And you know what? They turn out to be better than a professional waitress or waiter.
Wow. My comment is I found it was really good and like that. And I remember seeing that Michael Smith thing and like what he said at the end of his show. He said it was really family-like.
Yeah, very lovely.
Like family-oriented?
Like people feel like they were a family, like a regular customer in the restaurant, you know?
Oh, okay.
Like that. Yeah, I'll tell you something, Diane Dupuy. If you're in Montreal, we have this new restaurant, and I think they're opening one in Toronto. It's called the Anwar.
Okay.
It's Dine in the Dark. They bring you in this dark room. Did I pronounce that right?
Onwar.
It's Onwar. They open them all. There's some are open in the world, and it's visually impaired people are serving you the food, except you're in the dark and like that, and you got to try to find your food in the dark.
Oh, that sounds nice. Do they have a website?
Yeah, they do. I think if you search it like that, I heard I bumped into a guy took over and he's thinking about opening one in Toronto.
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah, Sepp, we had fun. You didn't? I don't.
I wasn't there. No,
Sepp,
but
it was a lot of fun and it gave you the blind experience. So. So like that.
Okay.
So what's new happening with the
We just opened up a 20,000 square foot, all on one level, completely wheelchair accessible.
Oh, yeah.
Stunning, stunning Moulin Rouge type of theater. It's just beautiful. Oh. You have to come to Toronto and see it. You will not believe it. It will take your breath away.
Yeah.
And it took our beautiful Dining Dream Theater in Toronto that we had up to a whole new level and experience.
Wow.
So you can check out our website, fasinfrankpp.org. And you can look it up. Now, our new website's being updated next week, and they'll have the new pictures of the new place on it.
Oh, so, wow, like, you got a new place?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, the thing there, like, I remember when I went to the to your place there, I remember that, like, my mom is that she just had two knee replacement, and it's those stairs at the beginning there. There. At the front there?
Yeah.
Yes, but it was I really enjoyed the show, and I really enjoyed the meal and like that.
Well, you're and just wonderful people, and I thank you so much for your support and love that you give to famous people players. We feel it all the way here in Toronto.
Yeah, so like that, it's just like another thing, too, is that when I met you there, I still remember the thing you told me. You told me I could interrupt you at any time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think you were like I was a little nervous going up to you or something. And my mom was pushing me to go and say, "Go and talk to her."
I still remember the last time we interviewed you. You made us feel like such professionals, and you were like, "Oh my God, you don't even sound like you're handicapped." But I'm like, I was kind of like, oh my gosh, I still remember that. And I was going through some old CDs of old shows a couple of weeks ago, and I came across that interview that Steph had done for me on a CD, a copy, and I was like, oh my gosh, it was like going back through a time machine. And
yeah, and anyways, we're going to be 5 years next October.
Oh my
good
gosh.
Good for you.
Can
good
you
for
believe
you.
That?
And we're going to do a special show.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be like a retrospective.
Yeah.
Kind of
thing.
So we'll let you go. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for joining us.
Take care.
Okay. Thank you. And I think I'll come see that new theater.
Okay. Have a good one.
Okay.
Take
bye.
Care. Bye.
Thanks, Dan.
Hi, I'm David Suzuki, and you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Information to grow the brain.
And welcome back. You just heard an excerpt of you just heard us discuss in discussion with Diane Dupuis of the Famous People Players and
Darklight Theater.
Thank you, Steph.
Awesome. That's what we do. We help each other, right?
You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Okay.
Down a little lower. The time is 5:40.
We're just having fun. You know, what did you thought about the Diane Dupuis thing?
Our interview. It was amazing to talk to her again. She was, when we first talked to her, it was our first interview that we had ever done. And it was really nice to catch up on old times. And
yeah, it was really nice, and it was good because you know what? Tell you something. The queue. I hope there's people from the CBC is hearing us, or maybe John Kibashi is listening to us on the internet. I say, you know what? We just finished your interview. We did the other part which you missed.
Yeah.
We did your part. We got a person works with the disabilities, does a big theater, and I tell you something. Was on Broadway, and was nice enough to turn around and tell us the complications of Broadway. Yeah. Like, and how hard is to do a show on Broadway and like that. And she said, and then she went honestly and like that. She played two hats. Like, that's how she explained it.
Yeah.
She talked about the hat about like that, except like things like that. I agree with Diane, and I agree with the producers of Miracle Worker and all that. So it's just, I think there should have been acknowledgement. There is blind disabilities doing great things in theater. Yeah.
Not only on theater. Yeah. Not only in theater. On
hey, Lazy Legs.
Lazy Legs.
Legs of Legs.
Lazy Legs. And don't forget, professional actors.
Yeah.
Look at Marley Maitland. Marley Maitland. She's an actress on television and she's been in movies. She has, I'm not sure if it's Down syndrome or what, but she has done many, many good things on television. Several years ago, remember Life Goes On?
I was just thinking about that.
Life Goes On, Chris Burke. I do not know where this boy is now, but hats off to him.
Yeah.
That was one amazing show, which I loved.
Tell you something. There's a movie tonight. If Kevin, you don't have it, I'll lend it to you. I have it. I don't know if you've seen it. I Am Sam.
No, haven't seen it, but okay. I've heard it's amazing.
It's amazing, okay? It's like that. Okay, they did what the guy said. They got a big star to play in it, Sean Penn. Except, you know what was amazing? They had a group of disability people. And I never heard this mentioned on the queue there. Except it was amazing. Like watching, and there are disabilities because I looked at the behind the scenes, the friends there, and they remind me about my friends, my disabilities friends.
Not only that movie, also if you remember, Rain Man.
Yeah, Rain Man. Yeah, Rain Man too. Like
plus Dustin Hoffman also studied for months.
Yeah.
He studied these people firsthand.
And another thing also too is tell you something like same thing with I Am Sam. I Am Sam. There that movie there there with that autism father there. It was played by Sean Penn. So what was amazing, they did use some disabilities in it like that. And they had the big star Sean Penn playing. Or another good movie, another disability movie was really good. The Other Sister.
Never saw it. Can you?
It was with Diane Keaton, and I forget what was the main actress. It was about these two, I think they were autism. She was in an institution. So institutions are finished, okay? They're finished. Now they're putting them in group homes. The ones need to be in institutions. So there's no more institutions. So she, it was a really good movie. It was about this sister was autism. Then she came back and she went to school and she marries this guy. And it was hilarious. Except like that. Except I think I Am Sam is my favorite disability show.
Disability movie?
Yeah. So like that. Because I think the fact they use some disability people, the disability didn't have the lead role, except like that. It was really good. It was one fun time. You know how us disability, we always have like some of us had a schedule, and we always follow that schedule.
I'm one of those.
Yeah, like we have this schedule, and it has to be this day. Like they had this movie night. They go to a friend's house and watch a movie night. And, like, they have a schedule whose turn it was. Oh. And that was in the movie. It was... Ah. It just...
It was uncanny. It was kind of unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Things like that. And it looks like they rehearsed that part very well. And I think they were showing the school they went to in the behind the scene. I Am Sam with Sean Penn. Go look at it. Rent it from the video store. I think it's you could find it in the big basket at Walmart. Except like that. Except like that. Except I'll lend it to you, Kevin.
Okay. Yeah. It's a must rent.
Yeah, you must rent. So like that. Yeah, except I think we didn't really get your thoughts about the Helen Keller and all that. What's your opinions?
Well, I'm kind of like on the side of Diane, you know.
Yeah.
We don't want to be we are intellectually handicapped people, and we do not want to be, you know, discriminated against. We're able body as like you and I, we're able bodies. We're doing this show. For God's sakes, you know, there's some people that, you know, the glass is half full.
Yeah.
And the people that do this look at us and say, the glass is half empty. This is not, you know, some people are really discriminatory and say, okay, some people can't do it. Don't let them do it.
I got another good movie out there, another disability movie I like too. Radio. You ever saw Radio?
Never saw it.
It's about this true guy. He kindly be like, I know who reminds me doing Radio's job? It's our own Hannah Lestels here. Like following the football team, helping them out, and then like that, working on the sidelines and all that. That's a good movie. Like that. So there's many disability movies and things like that. Except, you know, it's just the thing is, like, Avalanche. The main goal of Avalanche, and I think it's your goal too, Kevin. I don't know. Is Avalanche is to show people. The disabilities are like everybody else, and they could do anything. It's like taking out the dis and bringing out the able, because we're able. What you say, Kev?
Yeah, taking out the dis in disability and focusing on the ability.
Yeah, the ability, we could do it like that. You know, like that, and people show people disabilities how to do it.
When we first started here, remember, we knew nothing about technical stuff, about writing a run sheet, about
filling out logs,
talking about, you know, following the run sheet. We were like,
are going to get interviews, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, look it, we're going to make five years
on the air, and. Yeah. We should also thank our listeners out there. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you like that. Thank you for thank you very much like that. So
for all your support and contributions through our radiothon.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think we made 160,000. No.
Oh, $160
for $160. I'm sorry
for our hour. That's amazing.
Yeah, woo-hoo. That was a nice show. You missed that. We had two people from CKUW Winnipeg come on our show and talking about the radio and community radio, you know, like that. So, yeah, except I just want to say we're not really tacking the queue. We thought they could went and fix it, and I think, you know, It's like what I said at the fun drive, okay? Mainstream media and community radio, okay? It's the balance, you know. Mainstream media sometimes they would say half the story.